Second John, just short little book, 13 verses. This morning we'd like to draw your attention to verse 4, where John said, "I rejoiced greatly that I found your children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." John has addressed this second letter to the elect lady, and he rejoices in the fact that her children are walking in the truth. In John's next letter, 3 John, he will say, "I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth." But the question is, what is truth? This is the question that Pilate asked Jesus when Jesus was being tried. Pilate first asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" Jesus answered, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world to bear witness of the truth." Pilate then very cynically said, "And what is truth?" You see, Pilate was living at the time of history when the golden age of philosophy was in the final throes of death. The philosophers had abandoned their search for truth. There had been one system of philosophical thought after another, and the new system would always sort of shoot the holes in the old system. And thus, in this search for truth, they had finally concluded that truth could not be discovered, that truth did not exist on a universal basis, or there was no unified truth. There were those philosophers that said, whoever is in power, they dictate the truth. Other philosophers said, no, whatever brings you pleasure, that's true. Others taught that truth is what you thought it to be, pretty much the definition that is accepted today. The communists defined truth as whatever supported the communist cause. So it could be, in our estimation, a blatant lie. But if it promoted the cause of communism, to them it was truth. There are many people today who interpret truth as whatever promotes their cause. Still, others who say that truth is congenial with what you want to believe. But if man cannot even define truth, how can he ever discover truth? The philosophy of the present day has concluded that truth is relative. So truth is something that you believe to be true, and as long as you believe that it is true, to you it is true. In reality, they have despaired of discovering the truth. Paul wrote to Timothy about the philosophers of his day. He said they were ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. But the real truth is that they had rejected the real truth. Paul in Romans chapter 1 said that God had clearly revealed himself to man through creation, but he said, man held the truth of God in unrighteousness. And then he said that they changed the truth of God into a lie as they began to worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. The Bible speaks of a day that is coming when there will be a false leader that will arise who will pass himself off as the Savior of the world, and that he will work with many marvelous signs, wonders, miracles, and God will give the people in those days a strong delusion that they will believe his lie rather than the truth. And the reason being, they did not have a love for the truth, and so God will give them over to believe the lie. Now, the philosophy teachers discovered that to despair of finding the truth led to great hopelessness among the students. And many of the students were actually committing suicide because of this despair of the discovery of truth. And so they said, well, truth may exist, but you have to leave this lower story of reality, because reality tells you, no, it doesn't. But you have to take a leap of faith into an upper story of unexplainable religious experience, or what they called non-reasoned religious experiences. And hopefully, in taking this leap of faith, you might find something that you can hang on to. And so we see today the intellectual circles, it is so easy to become involved, and they have become involved, in Eastern mysticism and the Eastern religions that do provide them non-reasoned religious experiences. They talk about this wonderful peace that they feel as they chant the mantra. They can't really explain it, but after a while they come into an altered state of consciousness and they just feel this sense of oneness with the universe around them, and they enter into this cosmic kind of consciousness, and they can't explain what it is or how it is, but as I sit there and contemplate my navel, I just feel good all over, you know. How far that is from God saying, come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Or as Paul, I challenge you to present your body to God. Don't be conformed to this world. It's reasonable to do so. Or Peter saying, you need to be able to give an answer to every man who asks you for the reason of the hope that you have within you. The reason for the hope. You see, we have a peace that passes our human understanding, but the reason is we have made peace with God. We're no longer at war with God. We're no longer rebelling against God. We've surrendered our life to God, and as a consequence, we experience this wonderful peace of God in our hearts. We have a joy that is indescribable. It's full of glory. And the reason for the joy is that our sins have been forgiven. We are no longer living under the guilt or the condemnation of our sins. God has forgiven us our sins, and the result is this wonderful joy that I have. I have a feeling of intense love because I've come to realize how much God loves me. And I have responded to God's love. And so I can give a reason for my feelings. I can give a reason for the hope that I have, because it's based upon truth, God's truth. The word philosophy comes from two Greek words, phileo and sophia. Phileo is love, and sophia is wisdom. And so philosophy is the love of wisdom. But Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, "The world by wisdom knew not God." Now, God is truth. He is the final authority for truth. And man by his wisdom did not come to an understanding of God, and thus he concluded that because he did not understand God, God did not exist. That is a false conclusion. And so Paul said to the Romans, "Let God be true and every man a liar." You see, God is not discovered through the intellectual quest, but God has revealed himself to man. And that revelation of God to man is what we call the Bible. It is God's word and thus God's truth. Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" Earlier, Jesus had said to his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus said he was the truth. Interesting that Pilate would say, "What is truth?" Jesus said, "I am the truth." John said of Jesus, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And everything was made by him. Without him was not anything made that is made. And the Word was made flesh. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then John went on to say, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And so Jesus said, "I am the truth. I am the way to the Father. I bring you the truth of the Father, and I bring you into the life of the Father. But no man can come to the Father but by me." And so the first part is that men can come to God. That's the truth. Man can experience a personal relationship with God. But the second part of the truth is you can't experience that relationship with God apart from Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father but by me. In his prayer in John 17, Jesus, praying for the disciples, said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." God's word is true and the foundation for all truth. Psalm 119, 151 says, "The commandments, thy commandments are true." Psalm 19, David wrote, "The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." God's word is something that you can believe in, something to put your trust in. Now, what is the effect or the result of knowing the truth? Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There are many people today who are in complete bondage because they have believed the lies of the world and rejected the truth of God. The result is bondage. They believed that they could find life and excitement in the bottle, but they came into bondage of alcoholism. They believed that they could find satisfaction and they could find fulfillment in the material things of this world, but they became bound by their possessions. They believed that life and excitement is found in sexual experiences, but they came into bondage to pornography and to their flesh. They believed that they could find the ultimate thrills in drugs, but they became addicted and in bondage to those drugs. You see, sin always leads to bondage. Jesus said, "Whosoever commits sin becomes a slave to sin." Satan's lies, to believe and to follow them will lead you into bondage. But Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Peter wrote, "While they promise you liberty," and isn't that the big promise today? Free love, free sex, and all of this. "While they promise you liberty, they themselves are the slaves of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought into bondage." Sin, lies will bring you into bondage, but the truth will set you free. And Jesus said, "Whom the Son sets free is really free." What is truth? The truth is that you have been created by an all-wise Creator. You did not evolve through a long process of accidental circumstances. Thus, you're not here by accident. There is a purpose for your existence. Your life is meaningful. The truth is that the eternal Almighty God who created you loves you, and He wants what is best for you. And so He has given to you the rules for living. And if you will follow His rules, you will come to the ultimate experience of life. Life as God intended it to be. A life of peace, of joy, satisfaction. The prophet Micah said, "He has shown you, O man, what is good." But the truth is, none of us have kept the rules. We've all of us sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none of us who have attained to that righteousness. No, not one. But the truth is, God still loves us and still desires fellowship with us. You see, the truth is that sin does spoil your fellowship with God. It cuts your relationship with God. The prophet Isaiah said, "God's hand is not short, too short that He can't reach you, that He can't save you. God is not deaf. He can hear you, but your sins have broken your relationship with God." And that is always the effect of sin. And so, The truth is that God, though we have sinned, still loves us and longs for the original purposes for his creating you to be fulfilled, and thus God made provision for your sin. The truth is that God so loved you that he sent his only begotten Son, gave him to die on a cross, that if you would just believe in him, you could be forgiven your sins and you could know the life of God and fellowship with God. The truth is, as the Bible very succinctly puts it, he who has the Son has eternal life. And he who has not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's God's truth. Believe it or not. Shall we pray? Father, how thankful we are that you have given to us truth, that you sent your Son to teach us the truth about you and about your love and about your desires for us, your plans, your purposes. And how we thank you, Lord, that in receiving the truth, we've been set free. Free from the bondage of corruption. Free from the slavery to our own lust and desires. We thank you, Lord, that the truth has set us free. Truly free. And now, Lord, we pray for those who are here who have been deceived. They've listened to the lies of the world. Some of them are in bondage to their flesh. They're addicted to pornography. Some of them, Lord, are in bondage to alcohol. And they're on the road to alcoholism. Some are in bondage to drugs, and they become a slave. Some are in bondage to their possessions. They need to be freed. And Father, I pray that today they might come to know the truth, to receive the truth, and to be set free by the truth. Lord, you are the truth. May they come and be liberated by your power to be free indeed from those things that have enslaved them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here in the front to pray with you. As soon as we're dismissed, if you're honest, many of you will have to admit that there is a bondage in your life. There are things that are holding you back from the full relationship, wonderful relationship with God. You've been brought into bondage by the wrong exercise of liberty. As Paul said, all things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. But you find yourself under the power, unable to set yourself free. You've tried, you've struggled. But the truth can make you free. The truth that is in Jesus Christ. The pastors down here in the front are here to pray for you, that God will set you free, really free, that you might know the purpose and the plan of God for your life, and that is full, rich, meaningful, beautiful fellowship with God. Knowing the joy of the Lord. Knowing the peace of God. Because you're no longer struggling or fighting against Him, but you've surrendered yourself to Him. And I pray that this week you might know God's power working in your life, delivering you, freeing you from all of the bondage and the corruption of this world, that we might rise by faith into that relationship with God, not a non-reasoned religious experience, but one that is based on God's truth, which we have discovered for ourselves to be true. May the Lord watch over you and keep you in His love. In Jesus' name.